My name's Greg. I'm one of the pastors here as well, and I just want to welcome you. If you're here for the first time, I think you picked a great Sunday to be here, to think about some of the things that we're doing. You already saw some of that in the life of the announcements, but also to think about the series that we're in. It's a powerful story that we're looking at, and we're looking at the story of Jonah. And last week, we started with these words right here. The word of the Lord came to Jonah of Amittai and said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Its aroma has made its way to my nostrils. The action of my children in Nineveh have made their way to my ears. The way that they are operating with one another has been put up into my face." And God's response, maybe surprisingly, but God's response is beautiful, because his response is not that I want to undo them and do away with them. His response is what we would expect, because this is the predominant message of the Bible. His response is, and I want to bring all of my goodness to bear on this. I want to bring my heart to this. I want to rescue them. I want to redeem them. I want to restore them. I want to be a part of making what should be right out of what is so wrong, for the sake of them and those that surround them. You would think that a prophet of God named Jonah would say, "I'm in." That he would have had his hand up in the air going, "Are you kidding me? The great city of Nineveh? You're going to rescue them? You're going to bring your goodness to them? I'm all about that. That's what I want to give myself to as well. I will catch the first train out of here to Nineveh. I will walk if I have to get there, to join you in flipping that city right side up." But that is not what we see happen. In fact, what we see happen is the opposite of that. Like, Jonah can't get far enough away. And I love that this story is recorded this way, because if it was recorded a different way, we wouldn't have a story that gets dragged down into real life stuff, where we can bang into this stuff in a way that it is just raw and real, and we have an opportunity to look into a mirror and actually learn something about ourselves. We have an opportunity to grow with this story in a way that it might not have happened had it just been that Jonah went, "I'm in." And we saw some super prophet take off and do what we would expect a super prophet to do. But in this story, God actually says, "I'm going to Nineveh. Let's go, Jonah." And Jonah says, "No. I'm heading this direction. I've set my face and my goodness toward Nineveh." And Jonah's over here going, "Perfect. Got it. Thanks for the insight there, because I know now that you're going that way, which means I'm going the exact opposite direction. I will do what I can to get as much distance between us as possible." And we might be thinking, like, what? That's just messed up, man. Because it is. It's messed up. Like, why would you do that? What's your plan to put distance between you and God? Why would you actually be about that? But, as I've already said, because that is what happened, we actually have an opportunity of stepping into this story with our own stories and letting our story meet up with the story that is the story of Jonah, with the possibility of some real transformation happening for us. Think about this. God's saying go and Jonah's saying no. What's one of the first words we learn, right? No. And it might come on the heels of mommy and daddy, or mama and dada. But what word do children use super well? Because we teach the word no on purpose very early to them to keep them safe. And then they use it against us. Like, right? We say, "Hey, can you please put that down? No. Stop biting your sister. No." Like, what is it with a child? They get teeth and they show us they have a biting force of like a tiger. It's like, how do I get the kid's mouth off me? Or a child that's standing there with something in their hand and you're looking going, I don't want them to have that. And you say, honey, can you please bring this to me? And then they turn around. And it's kind of cute because you see their bouncer just going boop, 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 running away from you like, no, 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 no. And you have to chase them down the hallway to get it from you. And it's cute watching a bouncing diaper going down the hallway, but it's not that cute when we turn 25. Right? And we're still running. Maybe not from mom and dad at that point, but we're just running. Saying, I don't want to face that stuff. I don't want to do that. Or we're 40. We're still running. Saying, I just don't want to own the stuff that is me to change. Or we're 70 going, I've been around long enough. I'm done learning. I'm done transforming. I'm done growing. And God has so much more for us than that. I told a friend recently, something I've known about me for a long time, but I told a friend recently, that I just happen to belong to that club of people that want to do what I want to do and I don't want to do what I don't want to do. And he looked at me and went, I don't know anybody else like that. I think you're alone on planet Earth here. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get it, right? That there is something inside of us. And we know that just because we want to do it or we don't want to do it, that doesn't mean it's the right thing for us. It doesn't even mean it's good for us. It doesn't mean that when we jump into those things that we want to do or avoid the things we don't want to do, that either of those things is going to lead us to a place where we actually experience real healing and real restoration and real joy and real peace in our lives. We know that. But it is in us, we might as well acknowledge it, that we want to do what we want to do, and we don't want to do what we don't want to do. Go to Nineveh. No. Uh-uh. I don't want to do that. And Jonah made it pretty clear. Now, if we want to see a picture of what this would have looked like, at least on a map, this is what it would look like for us. Jonah would have been in a place called Gath Hefer. And in Gath Hefer, if you can pull that map up, please. In Gath Hefer, he would have made his way south, as the scripture, we're about to read it here, as the scripture says, he would have made his way down to Joppa. Joppa was one of three port cities for the area of Israel. And today, Joppa is actually just south of where Tel Aviv is in modern day here. And he was on his way in his plan to put some distance between he and God. God made it clear he's going to Nineveh. Nineveh is about 500 miles from Joppa. And what we know about Nineveh is that it wasn't a pretty place. It was a great city, had immense power, and it was the city that had the ability, if you were here last week, you would have heard this, had the ability to overrun Israel. It was a real threat. It was a bane to the ancient world. They rolled out atrocities that I won't even mention here this morning because we don't want to stick them in our minds. Nineveh is where modern-day Mosul, Iraq is. And I find that super interesting. Because a place where ISIS was rolling out some of the same atrocities that were happening back in the day of Jonah in the very same region. Amazing. And to think about the stuff that was taking place. Again, no reason to talk about it. But some of us can remember the treatment of enemies of ISIS, of those, how they would treat them and what they would do with them. Those images are etched in our minds. This stuff made its way up to God. Was brought before the face of God. The aroma of it was in the nostrils of God. God had a plan. So did the prophet. So did the prophet. He's going, that city right there, you know that city? It's got like a 2,000 acre area that is given over to the worship of a goddess named Ishtar. They are brutal and vile. And God said, I want to rescue him. And Jonah said, I want nothing to do with your plan. In fact, his actions say, I want nothing to do with a God whose first move toward people is one of mercy and grace and love and forgiveness. So I'm going to Tarshish, man. I'm going over to Tarshish, 2,500 miles away, making his way over to Tarshish. And Tarshish is all the way over to the southern edge of Spain. So we enter the reading of God's word, understanding this is the backdrop, this is the story. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." The sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I think it was about 20 years ago, I heard one of the greatest introductions of a preacher I'd ever heard. I knew the preacher, and I had listened to his preaching before, and for me, he's one of the most powerful preachers that I've ever heard. And the introduction went something like this. The gentleman introducing him stepped up and said, "It is my honor this morning to introduce to you one of the greatest beings I've ever met. The depth of his knowledge is unfathomable. His love for children is unquestionable. His care for the poor is unmatched. His power in his love is transforming. To hear him speak is to be mesmerized. To watch him in action is to be left amazed. To know him is to want to be like him. And to be like him is to usher in the opportunity for such joy and peace to come your way that you would never be the same. In fact, to sit with him, to truly be in his presence, if even for a moment, is to be left forever changed. It is my honor to introduce to you today none other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And here to talk about him is my friend Robert. And the guy walked off, and I went, that was brilliant. Just brilliant. Up stepped a man. I mean, just a man. It's something that we've heard around here before, that we are just nobodies telling everybody about a somebody. He stepped up to preach. And what happened to me in that moment as I thought about that introduction was this. More than anything else, this has stuck with me, that to be with Jesus of Nazareth, if even for a moment, to truly be in His presence. I'm not talking about hearing about Him. I'm not talking about reading about Him. But to truly be in His presence, if even for a moment, is to be forever changed. I think that's what's going on in chapter 1. I think it's a big deal for Jonah here. It's been the story of my life that when I'm in the presence of God, I'm never left the same again, never. And some of those times, you've experienced it as well. Some of those times, they're amazing. Just have this flood of love and grace that comes over you to heal you, to restore you, to set you right again in a relationship with Him. It's amazing. And other times, it's hard. Because there's this mirror that gets held up and you see yourself in light of who He is. And I've had that experience where something needs to change in me and I know it and it's going to be hard work. And to invite God to begin to do that hard work on the inside to change my heart or to change my thoughts or to change the way that I see something so that it can align with the Son of Jesus Christ to be conformed into His image. It's not easy work. And I believe that is what is going on in the heart of Jonah here in this story. He was in the presence of God and wanted no longer to be in the presence of God, because to be in the presence of God is to be changed. Jonah said, "You're going that way? Perfect. I'm going this way." How would I believe that? What would give us a clue that that's actually true? It's verse 3. Of this book that we just read. It says that Jonah ran away from the Lord. Just read it for what it is. Jonah ran away from the Lord. And it sounds ridiculous, for sure, that he would try to run away from the Lord. Like, how fast do you have to run? How far do you have to run? How fast and how far and how much lung capacity do you have in order to get away from the Lord? Where are you going to run? And it sounds ridiculous to us because we live in this day. We don't live in that day. We live in 2018. We don't live in the days of Jonah. And in that day in the ancient world, it was understood that gods had turf, gods had territory. And the turf was where the god would have dwelt and exerted that god's power. We can see evidence of that all over the Old Testament. We can see it in the story of Moses, where Moses is saying, if you're going to send us beyond your presence, Lord, please don't send us. In other words, if you're not going with us, if we end up to the edge of your territory and you're asking us to step into the next place, but you're not coming with over there, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. We want to stay where you are. Think about Abraham. It says, by faith, he went to the land that he did not know. Well, surely, it was a neighboring land. He knew the land of the Ur of the Chaldeans. But what, if you're thinking about the territorial gods that had turf, what he also knew is the land of the Ur of the Chaldeans had a god named Nanah. And to step into that land was to be stepping into the reign, the rule of Nanah. And he was, by faith, believing, yes, I know that the God that I worship, the creator of the heaven and the earth, this God has been with me in this land. And by faith, I'm going to believe that He's not just the God of this turf, but He's the God of that turf and every other turf. And it was accredited to him as righteousness, this man that stepped out by faith. Think about David at one point in his life, just wondering, like, where is the presence of God? I am absent from the presence of God. How do I get back into, where do I go in order to find the presence of God? And by experience later in life,
he began to understand this God is way bigger than Nana. This God is way bigger than these other territorial gods. Where can I go from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there too. If I go to the far side of the sea, you're there. If I go anywhere on this planet or off this planet, you are there, because that's who you are. Jonah doesn't know this. Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah had this in his mind. I don't like what's going down here. I don't like where God's headed. I don't want any part of that. And I'm going to go as far away as I can. I'm going to put 2,500 miles. And then however many miles God goes toward Nineveh, it could be upwards of 3,000 miles. About to put 3,000 miles between what he longs for me and what I want for me. About to put 3,000 miles between what he longs to do inside of me and what I don't want to happen inside of me. About to put 3,000 miles between how he wants to transform my thinking and give me eyes for these people and a heart for these people and what I actually want for me. I can't sit in his presence any longer, because if I sit here, stay here, I run the risk of being transformed and thinking differently and acting differently and believing differently and functioning differently in this world. And no, I'm good, man. I'm good. I've come far enough. This is good. I'm going to stay right here. I've been thinking about how many people God could have chosen other than Jonah. Why Jonah? There are so many other choices than Jonah. Why him? Why not somebody else? Could it be that perhaps God's desire here had everything to do with the fact that Jonah needed Nineveh as much as Nineveh needed Jonah? That's why the story is written the way it is. That Jonah needed Nineveh as much as Nineveh needed Jonah. God was using the story of Nineveh to change Jonah's heart as much as he was going to use Jonah to change the heart of Nineveh. It was the summer of 1985, and I was working at a bar. I was a bouncer in a bar, true story. And so in this bar, I had employment. I was making money, and it was heading into my senior year of college. I was starting to really grow in Christ, reading the scriptures and starting to grow. And I didn't know what I didn't know, but I walked past this billboard or a posting, and I signed up for a job interview for a place called Camp Geneva. A whole bunch of us have been there before, and we're going there for our baptisms. And I signed up to be a camp counselor there, and it was 2 weeks before the camp started. Any of us that know anything about the hiring of those counselors, we would say, yeah, that doesn't happen 2 weeks before camp. It's because somebody quit 2 weeks before camp, and everybody else had a real job, right? And so they went back to the others that had applied, and they were already employed in places they wanted to be in. And I was on my way to becoming a teacher. I was heading into special education and thought, that's what I'm going to give my life to. And I was thinking about the resume and thought, okay, so bouncer at a bar, beating people up for a living, or helping children. Which one would look better? And I think I saw Dr. Kiewicz here somewhere this morning. And there he is. Which one looks better, right? So I'm going to go for camp counselor. I went for the interview, and the interview, if any of you have ever interviewed and realized I just blew the interview, that was one of those moments that I'm like, there's no way I'm getting this job. Because he was asking me questions I was not answering well, because I couldn't. I didn't have enough in me to answer them well. And so at one point in the interview, he offered me the position. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I got this thing. And he said, and I want you to know that you're on probation. And I went, well, that didn't take long, right? Usually it takes me a couple weeks to get on probation. But, man, I'm on probation before I even started. And what he meant by that was, I'm going to invest in you all the way through your beginning weeks here, just pour into you until I really feel good that you're ready to really lead these children well, if you're willing to do it. And I was. And he said at one point, before I left the porch of John Schmidt, a pastor in Zeeland area, he said to me something that has stuck with me for my life, and I want to be that kind of person for other people, and I think God's that way for us. He said, Camp Geneva needs you almost as much as you need it. And I think you need it as much as we need you. And that was a risk that he took that changed my life. I think about God choosing Jonah. What an act of grace. What an act of grace. This story shows us, tells us, that he's that way, not just with Jonah, but with all the Jonahs in the world, all of us who know that, man, sometimes I want what I want, sometimes I don't want what I don't want. And he's saying, I'm inviting you in. Sometimes it's hard to face the stuff that's on the inside of you that you're going, man, I know this would be good if I could deal with this, but I'm just not ready. I'm going to put some distance between me and God. And he chases after us. That's what the story is. He doesn't let us go. He loves us too much. You need this. This story is one about pursuing not just Nineveh, but pursuing Jonah. It's not just about pursuing Nineveh and Jonah. It's about pursuing us. As the story goes on, you saw what happened. Soldiers are at this, or the people in the boat are at this place. These sailors are just saying, what's going on? And eventually Jonah goes, I'll face it. It's me. Face it. I still don't want to go back, but I'll face it. And what happens at the end of this is so beautiful. It says he's tossed overboard. Not beautiful there, but he's in the belly of this fish for 3 days. He's going, throw me overboard. Just throw me overboard. It'll go okay for you guys. Throw me overboard. In the belly of the fish for 3 days. Fast forward that story. There's a beautiful parallel in the scripture where we see Jesus being hoisted up on a cross, willingly going there, and he's in the belly of the earth for 3 days. What for? For the pursuit of you, for coming after you, for being a God who says, I am gracious, I'm slow to anger, I'm abounding in steadfast love. My move is towards you to redeem you. Even when it's hard for you to offer me the stuff that's on the inside of you, to let me begin to shape and to mold you, to change your heart, to change the way you think, to change your perspective on all the people in this world. Let me at you. Let me be in your presence and you in mine. For to sit with me, to truly be that close to me, will result in a change that's in you. I wonder this morning what our Nineveh is. I wonder what it is for each one of us that are in this room, that are sitting here saying, there is one thing, and I don't probably have to even spend any more time on that because you know what it is. That God is saying, let me have this. And maybe for some of us here this morning, you've heard about baptism twice already. Maybe for some of us here this morning, it's not a thing, it's the whole thing. That it's time. That it's time for us to say, man, I've been dabbling around in this thing called Christianity for a while. I've been going through the motions long enough. But this God wants to take me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes, from fingertip to fingertip, and to make me his. And I'm done running. I'm done. He went down into the belly of the earth for 3 days for me and rose back victorious that I might truly be his child. And it's time for me to go down into the waters and have a resurrection of my own, that I might be his. If that's you today, I would love the opportunity to have a conversation with you after worship here and to invite you into those waters of baptism. You already heard there's other ways to sign up for that, but I would love an opportunity to celebrate that with you and this greater family to celebrate that as well. So what is it in us? What's our Nineveh? What is God saying to us here today? We could say, why Jonah? I think the question is, why us? Why us? Because God so loved you. He sent His Son. It's an act of love. It's a move of love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the gift of love that comes in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank You for this story that we're in, not just this week, but the weeks to come. What we can learn from the story of Jonah about ourselves. We're celebrating new life. And for that gift of You saying, come on in, get close. And to sit with Me is to be forever transformed, renewed, remade, reclaimed, adopted as My son and daughter. We give You thanks. In Your name we pray. Amen.